In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Jesus, I trust in you.
Our Lady, Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Drew Mariani is here for you on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew this afternoon here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Drew will be back from vacation tomorrow. May I just give you an update and also say thank you very much? We always talk about the family of Relevant Radio, and it's a great and growing family every time, and you're always there, as I'm hopeful we're there for you as well. Yesterday, I told you the story about the man who hired me, gave me my first job in television, and just so influential, really became a part of his extended family, Al Primo, and that he was ready to be called home by God, and he was, just as we went on the air about an hour ago. So thank you so much for the outpouring of email that you sent praying for him and his recovery, but, you know, God said, now is the time. We need you here. A man who's very influential in the television newscast that you will see on your local television station tonight. The inventor of Eyewitness News back in 1968. And everything that he taught me, I'm applying right now as you and I have this conversation here on Relevant Radio, some 45 years later after we first worked together. So we pray for the repose of his soul. And I say thank you again for the outpouring of email and all of your prayers, and just to remember him as well. It's interesting that we have this conversation right now on this feast day of the archangels. And of course, you know the beginning of the prayer to St. Michael, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. And while St. Michael defends us in the battle, obviously the battle for our souls with Satan, our military is always out there fighting and defending for life and liberty around the world. We certainly saw that in Iraq. And the story that we're going to tell you now is about Navy SEAL Michael Mansour. It's a story of sacrifice, an ultimate sacrifice. Michael was a part of Operation Iraqi Freedom. And 16 years ago today, the Feast of the Archangels, September 29th, 2006, Michael and three SEAL snipers watched enemy activity from their rooftop position in Iraq. And insurgents throw a grenade at those SEALs. The grenade bounces off Michael's chest. He could have escaped. Instead, what Michael did was he threw himself on that grenade to protect his fellow SEALs from an explosion. Michael died 30 minutes later. You could say that Michael lived out the mission of his namesake, St. Michael, because he defended his fellow soldiers. This was in a literal physical battle, of course. Michael Fathers George, along with Rose Ray, our next guest here on the Drew Mariani Show, tell the very compelling story of what true sacrifice and love is all about. The book is Defend Us in Battle, the true story of MA2 Navy SEAL Medal of Honor recipient Michael A. Munsoor. Rose Ray joins us. She is the founder of Radiant and Valiant magazines. They're now owned by our Sunday visitor. She's also the creator of the coffee table book, Spirit and Life, The Holy Sacraments of the Catholic Church by Sophia Press. Rose, it's good to have you on the Drew Mariani Show.
The pleasure is mine, John. So great to be with you.
This is such a beautiful book, and it's a beautiful book not only about Michael, but his family as well. And I know you wrote this with George, his dad, who served in the United States Marines. And this is also not only a picture of his heroism, but also a picture of faith in the family, to the point where the siblings, his siblings, are named Sarah and James. And when Michael came along, the question of, you know, who do we name our son after? Who's out there in the Old Testament that we can name our son after? Tell us a little bit more about this extraordinary family, because it really defines who Michael is.
That's so great you bring that point up, because it's true. They are absolutely extraordinary. You know, you'd never know. It's just a quiet, very private family. And a lot of people don't know Michael's story because of that. They're humble. They don't want attention drawn to themselves. And they're just true examples of what a family should be. And I know we all know why Satan's attacking the family, because you know what, John, when the family loves and they give and they sacrifice for their children, heroes are made. I mean, Michael's an example, but you know, all around us, whether someone's a nurse, a doctor, you know, anyone who's willing to fight for the good of others. So when I met first George and Sally, they were she brought cookies for my children, you know, and here we are to talk about her son who gave this incredible gift of his life. And I'm in awe of them, to say the least, John. They're incredible parents, and it goes to show why they had such an amazing son.
You know, when you see the act of heroism that Michael performed on this day in 2006, and you read his childhood as you describe it in Defend Us in Battle, is one of those rare individuals who seem to have no fear. Because, I mean, here's someone who goes to become a Navy SEAL. I mean, very few make it through just the training process. I think something like 75 or 80% do drop out. And it is extremely difficult to become a Navy SEAL. But the act of heroism that he performed on September 29th, 2006, actually starts out really when he's a child, when you look at this fearless young man.
It's so true. And I think about that verse where it says, when God, you know, says, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. I mean, Michael truly was, when Sally told me stories of him as even a baby, and then they had stories of him as, you know, a young child and a toddler. And, you know, I won't give too much of the book away, but when you see he's fighting these ailments as a young child, and willing to just push himself further and further, even as a 5, 6, 7-year-old, you kind of sit back and say, wow, you know, something is different about that young man. And it was true. I mean, he burst barriers throughout his entire life.
Yeah, and some of those challengers were respiratory issues, of course, with the Santa Ana winds. He grew up in Southern California, and the Santa Anas that come usually at this time of year can really affect, you know, your breathing and the quality of air. But he just pushed through that. And I can imagine in your conversations with George, his dad, and you wrote this book with his dad, George Munsoor, Defend Us in Battle, The True Story of Michael A. Munsoor. What did George say about the time when Michael came and said, you know what, I want to go into the military, but I really want to become a Navy SEAL? Not many children say that.
I know. And funny how you pointed out that George is a Marine veteran, because the funny little tidbit in the book is how he was a Marine. I think everyone in their family were Marines. Their other two sons served time as being Marines. So when Michael said, Dad, I want to be a Navy SEAL, he was like, what? What do you mean? You know, because he laughed and telling me the story, because he's like, Michael, you're the black sheep. Who wants to do that? Everyone's Marines. And it was so endearing to hear. It was just the way George speaks about his son with such love, but a masculine love, John. It's just so respectful to me. I love hearing him talk about his son and the memories that they have and the bond they have.
Rose Ray, as you mentioned, this masculine love that George's dad had for his son, but there's a very big faith component in here as well, because when we look at the fearlessness of young Michael when he's growing up, and then just watch him go through Hell Week, training for the Navy SEALs, eventually becoming a SEAL. The underwriting current in all of this is a foundation of faith.
Yep, 100%. And it's beautiful because I think there's a balance. You know, we see all types of things in our Catholic faith, right? We see where, you know, someone might be overbearing and they're like, just come, do this. And maybe the person isn't ready. And then maybe there's a standoff. I mean, there's all different types of way to try to live out your faith. Well, they in the Mansour family did it very quiet and again, humbly. So I wasn't in their family growing up. Clearly, I met George after the fact because my husband is also active duty SEAL. But you could see it. There was this quiet leadership that Michael clearly learned from his father and his mother. So Michael led by example, had faith. You'll see, you know, we got a little more into it, but where he connects with this priest and where he goes to mass, even amidst doing these arduous tasks and these, you know, crazy evolutions and training. But something inside of him kept bringing him back. He knew his place. He knew what he wanted to do, and he knew he needed God, which to me was so powerful.
Not to be lost in the conversation, as you mentioned, Rose, your husband is a Navy SEAL and you're the mom of six children. And as you talk about this quiet confidence that the entire family had, the Mansour family had, and obviously was at the very foundation along with his faith for Michael Mansour, that also is a very important component of who you are as a Navy SEAL. It's that quiet confidence, almost a humility, because you're in the background. But very much like St. Michael, you're always defending us in battle, the literal battle.
That is a really deep point, John, because I think there's a lot of, I don't know the right word, but, you know, sometimes people don't understand, you know, when they're in their, you know, air-conditioned office and their, you know, beautiful homes or whatever it may be, right? That there are these men and, you know, women too, but the SEALs are men. So we're just going to talk about this specific group because of Michael's ultimate sacrifice and his gift of his service, that they are willing to go into harm's way. And when I interviewed all these incredible men who worked with Michael, one of them said, you know, we joined after September 11th to protect the American dream and way of life. And I thought that was so incredible because so many people growing up today, whether they be youth or maybe, you know, they just haven't really thought about the gravity of the situation. I mean, these are these young boys, and they were young, 19, 20 years old, John, when they enlisted after the Twin Towers were hit, because they wanted to stand up to defend every one of them, what we hold sacred, which is our way of life and the way that we can worship and be. And so, it's a quiet task. There's not a lot of glorification and there's not a lot of thank yous. And you know what? They would do it again in a heartbeat anyway. So I'm very moved by this group of men.
It really is an example of brotherly love. And in a society, and we have a priest on the air, Father Marcel Tyone, and he is one of our spiritual directors. And he always jokes, he says, you know, they don't call it an iPhone by mistake because we're always holding it up and looking at ourselves or taking selfies. But that was not Michael Mansour. His witness is one of true brotherly love. And that's a tremendous witness that, you know, SEAL or not, as compelling as the story is, we can all take away and live.
So true. And the reason this project came to be, there was a beautiful ship, which you, if you story, you know where we're going with this, but that was named in his honor. And so when I read just a little bit about it, my husband was at the commissioning for SEAL Team 3. That was the team that Michael was on when he passed away. And when I read just a paragraph, John, something just exploded in my heart. That's how God works. He's like, do this. You know, he didn't say those words, but I knew I had to do it.
And yeah, I can't imagine Michael saying, dude.
Yeah, no, it wasn't God. I mean, it was God, but, you know, it wasn't word. It just, yeah. My heart knew. It just knew, John. It knew I had to tell his story, but I didn't even know the full story yet. So I reached out to his family, and they were so private. It took me 2 years to convince them. And a 54-day novena, I prayed in the background with my dear friend, Sam Guzman, too, of the Catholic Gentlemen, to convince through the grace of God. And I kept asking Michael's intercession in heaven. I said, please soften their hearts, because because they didn't want to share a lot with the world. They just loved their son. But his story was so powerful that I just knew, you know, souls will be moved by this. And I hope you agree, you know, after learning about it. But the reason I say all this is then I got to jump in with all of these guys who served with him. And Michael, it wasn't just one act. And the final thing that got George on board was he said, Rose, the world knows my son as the boy who jumped on the grenade. He goes, he was so much more than that. And that was the fire, John, that kept me going. I mean, the Holy Spirit just saying, yes, he was so much more than that. Let's tell the world who that boy was. So it was so meaningful to get all of these stories, to weave them into Michael's life. Because, you know, readers are going to find out, you don't just jump on a grenade. My husband says it all the time. Like, there's a whole 25 years of formation leading to that moment, that final act of charity. And that's what we get to share. You see, you know, he's looking out for those brothers in arms, even when he's training, even in the beginning of deployment, even in between. I mean, it's just, it's so cool to see just a glimpse of who this boy was.
There are so many different descriptors we can use to describe Michael Mansour, this young Navy SEAL who threw his body on a grenade that was thrown at him, part of a Navy SEAL team in Iraq to save his brother Navy SEALs. It's a story of humility. It's a story of confidence. And it certainly is a strong story of Catholic faith and faith that began mm-hmm. with his mom and dad. And it's also a great example of the domestic church looking inside the Mansour household as well. The book is Defend Us in Battle, the true story of MA2 Navy SEAL, Medal of Honor recipient Michael A. Mansour from Harper Horizon. Rose Ray co-wrote this with Michael's dad, George Mansour. Rose, thank you so much. Great book. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Catholic marriages, how's yours doing? We'll talk about it coming up next here on the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
The hope lives here. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
John Harper in for Drew, who's back from vacation tomorrow afternoon. So how's your marriage? I don't mean to be nosy, but we're going to look at what a successful Catholic marriage is all about. Now, you're probably saying, wait a minute, there are so many self-help books in the bookstore. Do we really need another book on Catholic marriage? Well, the answer is yes. And the book is written by a very trusted voice and one that we're always blessed to have here on Relevant Radio, Dr. Edward Sree, who, of course, is a theologian, very well-known Catholic speaker, and the author of several best-selling books. And the latest that we're going to talk about now, and we'll talk about your marriage as well, The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. You can hear the smile in my voice, Dr. Sree, because in that title, you basically described life as a married person. And Dr. Sree wrote this with his wife, Beth. And of course, you also know Dr. Edward Sree with Curtis Martin as the founding leader of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students. It's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Hey, John. Yeah, great to be with you again. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's so fun, this topic. I'm so excited because we love to talk about like the realities of married life, you know, like which is very messy. It's beautiful, but it's hard. And there's not a lot out there quite on that. You know, there's all this great heady theology, and I do that. I teach that in the classroom. And then there's a lot of like what you call those more self-help thing. Like, here's 7 ways to have better communication with your spouse. And those are fine. But there's nothing that gets to the heart of the real struggles, the disappointments, the hurts that come up in all of our marriages. You know, I think sometimes people say, well, you're Dr. Edward Sree. You know, you teach on marriage. You guys don't have problems. Like, no. We have serious struggles, just like most normal marriages do. And those aren't just little problems. They're places that God wants to meet us and take our love to the next level.
I always thought I was going to get married. I had the house picked out. I told my mom as an only child, I remember telling her, I'm going to have 3 children. You only had 1. I'm going to have 3. And when we would go shopping, when I was in elementary school after school, I'm saying, and that's the house. Matter of fact, the house is still there. I said, that's the house I'm going to live in. Well, God had other plans. But my mom would always say, there's someone for everyone. She said, never give up. And even at my advanced age, if I do get married, this is going to be in the goodie basket on the tables, your book, Dr. Sree, because it really is. It really is this guidebook to reality as well. But the big picture, and you heard me say this in the introduction, is a lot of different marriage books out there. And I know they're written by secular authors. So what's making this one different?
Yeah, we're trying to get to the heart of the spirituality of these things that come up. Again, there's great stuff out there, and you can learn from, hey, here's how you have better communication. This is how you forgive. Again, and those are good. But even a lot of Catholic stuff that's out there isn't taking it deeply in the tradition of the saints and the scriptures. And that's what we're trying to do, but in a very accessible way. So maybe one of the points we highlight in the book is the journey that God wants to take us on with our love. And I don't think that's often highlighted. I think about the wedding at Cana. There was that first wine that everyone loved and was awesome and they celebrated, but it ran out. And then Jesus has to step in and then do this miraculous work, this supernatural work, and transform that water into wine. And Pope Benedict once said that analogy of that first wine running out is like the first love that brings a couple together in marriage. You know, they fall in love, they want to be together, they have these dreams, we want to, you know, have a great Catholic family. And then they get into it, and it's like, this is a lot harder than we think. I can't tell you how many focused missionaries I've talked to over the years who said things like, you know, we love Jesus, we do a holy hour, we're in Bible study, and yeah, marriage will be hard, but, you know, we've got Jesus. And then they get into it, and they're like, oh, my goodness, we're fighting, and we're hurt, and are we the only ones struggling? And my wife and I just want to say, don't press the panic button. When those things happen in a marriage, that's a sign that the sacrament's working, that God is bringing out those deficiencies in our love. And he wants to take our love to a deeper level, but he has to step in to our poverty, to our lack. When we lack virtue, we lack generosity. I feel like I just don't have any more to give. And I don't know if I can give more to serve the kids or my wife right now. When we have those moments, that's where Jesus wants to step in, like he did at Cana in a great time of lack, to produce an even greater wine, or in this case, a greater love.
Talking about Catholic marriage, successful Catholic marriage, and yours as well, the book that you want from Ascension Press is The Good, the Messy, the Beautiful, the Joys, and the Struggles of Real Married Life. Dr. Edward Sree is our guest here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149, because I know there are couples about to celebrate the sacrament of matrimony, underline that word sacrament, and they're going to hear your witness at 888-914-9149. Tell us about the good, the messy, and the beautiful in your marriage. 888-914-9149. Also, love to hear from newlyweds. And also, it would be interesting to find out who's listening right now, who's been married the longest. 888-914-9149. You talk about working with Focus missionaries, and they say, we got Jesus on our side. They get married, and they say, we didn't realize it was going to be this difficult. And we're arguing at times. It is human nature, obviously, to bring up those deep wounds. In your experience with your wife, Beth, when those bubble to the surface, and maybe the very first time you had that argument or whatever it was after you got married, talk about how you resolved that, because that's perhaps as important as anything else in the foundation of a successful and a long-lasting marriage.
Yeah, I think in the early days, it was surprising. Again, I was like one of those idealistic, you know, hey, I studied marriage and family in the magisterial teachings, you know, in theology of the body, you know, and then, oh my goodness, I'm so falling short. You know, it was kind of humbling, kind of embarrassing, going, oh man, I'm struggling so much. But you know, when you talk about like the things that bubble up to the surface, I would actually turn later in our marriage after we had several kids and, you know, some are in high school already, and there was a season in our marriage where things bubbled up in a significant way. My wife uses this analogy. She talks about how marriage is like bone broth. Now, John, I don't know if you're familiar with bone broth. I'm honestly not that familiar with it, but my wife's really into it. It's like the new in food, really healthy. You take the bones of the cow and you have them boiling overnight, like 24, 48 hours.
Yes, my dad loved it, and you've triggered PTSD in me because I thought I had the last taste of bone broth out of my system when I was 12 years old. But it's like, oh no, your wife's into that? Boy,
he's into it, yeah.
And that didn't start an argument over bone broth? It would in this house, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, there's the messy right there, marriage, right there. But No, but she uses the analogy that, like, what's happening when you're boiling it overnight, it's taking out all the good nutrients and the amazing vitamins that are there. But at the same time, it's also taking out all the bad stuff, like the scum rises to the surface and you have to scrape it off so that you can be left with a great, nutritious soup. Well, she says that's what marriage is. It brings husband and wife together, and it's drawing all the good out of you, but it's also bringing to the surface your weaknesses, your fears, your sins, your hurts from your past. And that's normal. Like that means the sacrament is working. God's wanting to bring healing in that. And we're open about it. My wife gives talks on this. I'm not sharing anything really private. She came from a home of divorce. Her parents divorced when they were five, when she was five. And, you know, we know that that has an effect on a kid, and they usually don't realize it in their childhood, but all the studies show that it comes out more when you enter into adulthood and when you enter into serious relationships of your own. And she had gone to counseling at different times in her life and thought, you know, it was all a part of her past. But, you know, after having an eighth child and there was a big health event in her life and just a lot going on, it was kind of like a serious bone broth moment where, like, she just, like, wasn't functioning like she was able to before. And she's not reacting in the same way with me. And, you know, where there's a lot of tension in the marriage, and I'm wondering what's going on. And she realized, you know what, I think there's some things I need to go back and work on in counseling due to my upbringing. And I don't think we often realize how much our upbringing sets certain patterns, and we can respond in certain ways or look at love in certain ways or not think we're worthy of love. These things really, really affect us. And God brought that to the surface in significant ways in our marriage. That was, like, you know, 15 years into our marriage. But it was really hard, but it was really beautiful, because the healing that my wife went to a whole different level in, from counseling, from going to spiritual direction, doing many, many holy hours and praying through a lot of those things from her childhood. She's like, she, again, like that new wine is like, she is like blossomed. The beautiful wife I married, you know, 23 years ago, blossomed even more beautifully through this process of healing. But that's just, and everybody has their stuff. Some may have more serious things, you know, others maybe smaller things, but we all bring our baggage into marriage. And God wants to unpack that baggage because he wants to heal us. And marriage does that. It brings the things that God wants to heal and sanctify up to the surface.
We're talking about successful Catholic marriages here. Dr. Edward Sree and his wife Beth have co-authored a book called The Good, the Messy, the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. When you read this book from Ascension Press, you'll see your own marriage in that. And we're sharing some of your stories here on The Drew Mariani Show at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Talk about the good, the messy, the beautiful, the joys and the struggles of real married life. You can share your witness now at 888-914-9149. You talked about spiritual direction you and your wife had individually and perhaps as a couple. I remember growing up seeing the first time, I'm probably six or seven, walking into my mom and dad's bedroom, and they were praying together. They were kneeling at the side of the bed, and that left a lasting impression on me. And then to see them pray individually in a marriage, talk a little bit about praying by yourself and also praying together as a couple.
Yeah, you know, in a lot of marriage prep programs, even marriage enrichment programs, there's a lot of talk about praying together, you know, couples prayer, and it's beautiful. People weren't talking about that as much, say, 20 years ago. And so my wife and I, we do pray together, and we pray together as a family every day. But one thing we highlight in the book is that we don't want to forget individual prayer, because she and I have done a number of these, like, marriage conferences, marriage retreats around the country, this is a point that's really resonating with people. We've heard from so many couples that say, oh, we just say a couple prayers together before we go to bed, or, you know, we hold hands and say a few prayers, and that's my prayer. And we say, hey, that's great that you're doing that, but God wants to have an individual encounter with you. I need time for my own prayer. My wife needs time to pray, because I need to, like, take in that deep breath of prayer, be shaped by the Word of God, wrestle with God on what he's asking me to do and how he's inviting me to grow and sacrifice more. I need that personal, individual time with God. If I don't have that, what happens is I'm not able to give the best of myself to Beth or my kids. I mean, I love Beth. I really do. And my love has good qualities, but I also know it falls short. I know it's tainted by my own pride, my selfishness, my fears, my hurts. And I need more than just me. I need Christ radiating through me. Mm-hmm. But that can only happen if I'm cultivating a personal interior life through daily prayer. I love my kids, but I can be impatient sometimes, and you know, I can fail as a dad at moments, and my love isn't perfect. I do love them, but I fall short. I need Christ to radiate through me. So we need to have that personal daily time every day as an individual, as just me, Edward Sree. I need time, you know, at least 20, 30 minutes every day, I would say, just in reading the scriptures, talking to God, and allowing his life to shape my heart more so that I have more to give my wife than just myself. I want to give her Jesus. And she wants to do the same thing. So in our marriage, yes, we pray together, but we make it even more of a priority to make sure each person gets their own prayer time in. And so when the kids were younger and, you know, I have to go off to work, I remember I would get up early and I would take care of the kids so that when Beth got up, she could have time for prayer. And then I got my prayer time in earlier before everybody got up. That was a way to make sure I got prayer time, but I was serving to try to make sure she had her prayer time because she had all the kids and was be very busy during the day. And now our kids are older and all, there's seasons, you know, where, you know, we all are pretty good at getting the daily prayer in. But, you know, there was just a time just last week, my wife was like, oh, we had a sick kid and I wasn't able to get my prayer time in. Do you mind if I go to the chapel tonight? You know, and I said, no, do I mind? I want you to, because I know you're that's good for you. And you're going to be a better mom, you're going to be a better wife, you know, just by having that time with Jesus. And so couples prayer is awesome. Definitely, we need to do that. But even more important, if you have to choose between the two, make sure you get your personal time of prayer in. That's essential for a marriage.
We're blessed to be speaking with Dr. Edward Sree this afternoon and his brand new book from Ascension Press, The Good, The Messy, and The Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. And we're also sharing your success stories in marriage. Share that witness with others in our Relevant Radio family, 888-914-9149. What has made your marriage successful? And maybe you've just come over those little speed bumps that are inevitable in every relationship. 888-914-9149 as we continue here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
We got married in a fever, hotter than a pepper sprout. We've been talking about Jackson ever since the fire went out. I'm going to Jackson.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, okay, Dr. Edward Sree, I'm playing this song at my wedding, okay? So that's going to be the first dance song. Johnny Cash, as we talk about marriage and your successful Catholic marriage, Dr. Edward Sree and his wife Beth in this brand new book from Ascension Press, The Good, The Messy, and The Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life. And we're sharing your stories about what has made your marriage successful and also maybe how you've gotten around some of those bumps in the road that's inevitable in any relationship. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can imagine the first dance, Dr. Sree, right, to a Johnny Cash song like that. That would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm assuming you're married to Southern Belle and getting married in Mississippi or something.
You know, since I can't dance, I suppose I could just move to the beat of that and everybody will say, hey, look at him. That's pretty good. Let's share some witnesses about marriage here at 888-914-9149. Margie's in Chicago, listening to Relevant Radio 950. Hi, Margie. How long have you been married?
Hi. 45 years.
Oh, God bless you.
Thank you.
Tell me how it's been an incredible 45 years for you.
Oh, well, we got married. We got 4 children, 5 grandchildren, and we've been teaching them the Catholic faith. To all of them, they've all done the First Communion, Confirmation. One of my daughters got married already to the Catholic Church, and she's been teaching the children also the Catholic religion. So it's been outstanding 45 years. You know, we've had our ups and downs, but with God, everything is possible, and we always cling to Him for every little problem that we have.
That's beautiful, Margie. Thanks for sharing. 888-914-9149. Dr. Sree, Margie brings up some interesting points there because I want to ask, because you have really a front row seat. Well, obviously, you've got a lot of children. You're blessed with a great family.
But also when you work with young people in the Fellowship of Catholic University students and, you know, they may be thinking about marriage, how do you communicate to them? And even if you've been married for a while, to remind yourself that marriage is not only a sacrament, but also a vocation.
Yeah, I think that's an important point, especially for this younger generation, because it's just out there in the culture. And they've been breathing this view of love and marriage that, you know, marriage is about, I got to find that person that's going to fulfill me. That person is going to, you know, finally just make me happy, and they're going to make me feel good about myself. And even good, I've met many really good devout committed Catholics that they admit, I've fallen into that in my marriage. You know, like I'm longing for that person that's going to make me feel good about myself. So, you know, that's a very self-centered view of love that is just out there in the culture, but we breathe it in as Catholics. And we have to remember, no, marriage is vocation. It's about giving yourself away, giving yourself away in love. And it's when we actually sacrifice, we die to ourselves in all the little things that come up in life, that's actually where you're going to find your greatest joy. You know, I often tell them a true story of there's a young couple that my wife and I knew, and they got married, and we didn't see them until the next year. And we asked them, so tell us, what's the greatest surprise, the greatest challenge in your first year of marriage? And without any hesitation, the wife got all radiant, and she said, the socks. It's the socks. That's the greatest challenge. And we're all laughing.
The socks.
What's that all about? Exactly. And she says, you know, when we were engaged, I noticed that his apartment, there were socks everywhere on the couch, on the floor, in the kitchen, on bookshelves. And I told him, you're going to take care of your socks once we're married, right? And he's like, oh, yeah. Well, she's a really type A, high, you know, organized person. And he's a very free spirit kind of guy. And you can imagine where this goes. So their first year of marriage, there's just socks everywhere. She's having to pick up the socks all the time, every day. And she's just a little frustrated about it. So one day she sees a sock on the stairs, and she says, I'm just going to leave it here and do a little experiment and see if he even notices. And later that afternoon, he comes down the stairs to get a coffee, and he sees the sock, and he tells himself, oh, yeah, I got to pick up my sock. I'll get it on the way up. And then he forgets. And he has to come back down to get something else and then go back up for a meeting, and the sock stays there all day. Stays there a second day. Finally, the third day, he comes down the stairs and he goes, that sock is still there. She knows. She's just testing me. And we're all laughing. But here's the point I made, John. I said, I made this crazy statement. I said, you know what? In your marriage, that sock is like a mini tabernacle in your marriage. And what I meant by that was, you know, the real tabernacle is the real presence of Jesus, body, blood, soul, divinity, the Eucharist.
Yeah.
And we're called to meet Jesus there, but we're also called to meet Jesus in our spouse, in those places that frustrate us, annoy us, let us down, hurt. Like those are places Jesus wants us to encounter him in our spouse in those low moments. So every marriage has this. We have little things like it could be a sock. It could be where you put your dishes and how you organize your room. It could be how you spend the money. It could be their tone of voice. It could be things you say, things you don't say. It could be lack of understanding the other person's heart. I mean, it could be really serious hurts. We all have these kinds of things. And to see them not as like little annoyances or just little problems that need to be solved, but to see them first as foremost as like encounter moments. God's inviting me to love like he loves. Because I'm a mess. I have so many sins and weaknesses, and he still loves me. And he forgives me. You know, I mean, that's the love on Good Friday, right? On Good Friday, Jesus is misunderstood. He's hurt. He's abandoned by his close friends, his hurtful words, hurtful actions. That's what happens in marriage, you know, and on Good Friday, Jesus didn't reject. He loved without expecting anything back. He still loved them. And he's inviting us in those moments where I'm just, that's pet peeve number 58 I have with my spouse, you know, or okay. My spouse is in a bad mood today. That really hurt. Like to not be self-centered, but to go, okay, I'm called to love even right now. And that's where our hearts grow. And I would bet, you know, from the previous caller, 45 years in marriage, I think you just learn this over time. It forces you to grow in patience and generosity in that way.
But we've also found the sequel to your book, Dr. Sri, because the next book after The Good, the Messy, the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life, the next book should be entitled The Parable of the Sock. There you go.
Exactly. That's great. I should use that. I'm going to use the parable. That's a great little
The parable
little title
of the
there.
Sock. There you go. We're talking about successful Catholic marriages. Dr. Edward Sri with his wife Beth written The Good, the Messy, the Beautiful, the Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life for Ascension Press. Brian's joining us in Little Rock, Arkansas at 888-914-9149. Brian, tell us about the success that you've had in your marriage. Welcome to Relevant Radio.
Well, thank you, and peace be with both of you. So we've been married 28 years this year. I was raised Catholic. Met my wife. She wanted nothing to do with the Catholic Church. So I left the Catholic Church, went to an evangelical church for years, and then I returned to the Catholic Church, and she went to RCIA and came into the church in 13. In 2015, and our marriage had been many ups, a lot of downs, but we made a marriage encounter, a parish-based marriage encounter that we do here in Little Rock. Mm. And one of the exercises in that parish-based marriage encounter was to write a prayer together. And so we spent a couple of hours towards the end of that weekend writing out a prayer. And we prayed that prayer every night, not every other, every night before we go to bed. And I travel, even with my travels, I pray it every night. And I think there's something it's difficult, especially for men, to want to pray with our wives, but it has been one of the most magical parts of our marriage to pray together. And when we wrote that prayer together, that prayer represents both of our hearts, both of our desires. And what we've learned through all these years is that there is no perfect spouse. I'm not perfect, and she's not perfect. I'm not going to change her. She's not going to change me. But as Dr. Scott Hahn says, it takes two to get married and three to stay married, but we're perfected in Christ. And so when he's the focus through our prayer, I'm telling you, since we started that, our struggles have been less. I don't see her flaws. I see the perfectibility in her in Christ. And you know, she doesn't see my flaws. And so it's to me, it's one of the greatest and most simple gifts you can do in a marriage. And few people are willing to do it. It's so hard to start. But boy, once you start it, the fruits of it are phenomenal.
Oh, I love that story. I love just how you came together to write it. It wasn't like you just got some prayer. Oh, well, let's say this together. That would be fine. But you wrote something together. It came from your own hearts. And then you're presenting it to the Lord. And you're doing it every day. You know, I just know, I'm sure you would say the same thing, right? You know, in your marriage, it's just, there's times where, you know, you get a little defensive or you're a little hurt or frustrated, whatever that is. When I just go to the chapel or I just go take time and I pray with it, it just, you know, the issue's still there, but it's not as bad. It's not as, I'm not as frustrated. Like the Lord often changes my heart, you know? And I think early in my marriage, I used to be like, okay, well, Jesus, how are you going to change her heart here? You know? But I've come over the years, and I think that's kind of what you experience when you come together and you're praying your heart's desire, you put your heart before the Lord, he will change it. And that's the whole journey God wants to take us on, like I said at the beginning of the show, of entering into those points of lack and filling us ever more with his love.
And if I could just enter, one of the things we wrote in that prayer is, you know, one of the greatest struggles, I think, in many marriages is intimacy, physical intimacy. And so we talked about that, and we wrote that into our prayer, that our marriage would be filled with marital intimacy as a reflection of Christ's love for us. And so when some of our other couples, you know, struggle in that area, and where we don't, thankfully, but I believe the reason we don't struggle with physical intimacy, I'm convinced 100% the reason we don't is because we take it to the Lord every night. I'm telling you, we do not miss a night, have not missed a night, I wouldn't say, since 2015, not one night. And when you take those issues, those struggles, in union and prayer to the Lord's going to bless that, and he's going to honor it.
Amen, you know, Brian.
That's an area that people just don't – I'm really grateful you mentioned it. They don't want to talk about it. It's a little bit awkward. And look, a lot of couples do have struggles there, whole kinds of struggles. And my wife always says that this sex, that's not the center of marriage, but it is kind of a barometer. It kind of gives you a sense, not about like how much pleasure you get, but more like, is that going well? Because the physical intimacy is meant to be an expression of like what's happening heart to heart.
Dr. Sri, we're out of time. I've got to jump in. And we recommend the book from Ascension Press, The Good, the Messy, and the Beautiful, The Joys and Struggles of Real Married Life, Dr. Edward Sri. Dr. Sri, always a blessing to have you here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.